There's a joke that has made the rounds of email boxes over the last few years. I think it has to predate the internet. It's too funny to be, you know, that new. If you haven't heard it, or just in case you've forgotten it, I want to tell it to you now. An atheist was walking through a forest on a path that ran beside a river, admiring the natural world. What majestic trees and that grand river and the animals so marvelous to see. And as he was walking, he heard a rustling behind him and turned, thinking that must be another hiker. And of course, he noticed that it wasn't another person out for a stroll. It was a grizzly bear, an enormous, powerful, angry-looking bear stalking toward him. As he saw the animal intended to eat him, he began to run. He looked over his shoulder and saw that the bear was gaining on him, and he had adrenaline coursing through his veins. He'd never run faster in his life, but the bear kept closing in. And then he tripped and fell to the ground. And as he tried to get up, he saw that the bear was almost on him. His jaws were open, his teeth were bared, his paws were raised to strike, and the atheist cried out, "Oh my God!" And the strangest thing happened. Time seemed to stop. The bear was frozen in the middle of his killing strike. All was silent. There was a light from the heavens, and a voice came from everywhere simultaneously and spoke to him. "You deny my existence all these years, teach others I don't exist, and even credit creation to a cosmic accident. Do you expect me to help you out of this predicament? Am I now to count you as a believer?" And the atheist looked around him, astounded to hear the voice. After a moment, he said, "It would be hypocritical of me to suddenly ask you to treat me as a Christian now, but perhaps you could make the bear a Christian." And the voice said, "Very well." And the bright heavenly light faded, and the sounds and the forest came into focus again, and the bear that had been about to strike him brought his massive paws together, stopped in his tracks, and said, "For what I am about to receive, may the Lord make me truly thankful. Amen." Now, I have to tell you, I love that joke. The first time I heard it, I laughed really, really hard. I laughed at a lot of jokes, and yet sometimes the joke says a lot about the person who created it, and it says a lot about those of us who are laughing at it. A lot of us in the church don't really understand the hostility of those who don't believe, the mindset of the atheist. A lot of us in the church don't understand why it is that more people aren't in church with us. So let me just point out something that might not have occurred to you hearing this joke as a faithful person. A lot of us in the church, and especially some vocal public exponents of Christianity, some vocal public preachers, really do like to eat people. And we really do say grace beforehand and give thanks for the opportunity to eat that atheist or that lapsed believer or that person who has a different worldview or does things that we disapprove of. We're not alone in that pious desire to consume our enemies. Do you know what I'm talking about, that we like to eat people? Atheists relish taking apart Christians and other people of faith. People of other religions sometimes torment those who differ from them. The reports of Christians and other religious minorities being persecuted by radical Muslims are often true. The reports that some people in Israel persecute Palestinians are often true, as are the reports that radical Palestinians plan and execute attacks against Israelis. White Christians used to persecute black Christians in this country, and some of them still harbor barely concealed hatred for black people and other ethnic minorities. Some Catholics still dislike Protestants, and some Protestants dislike Catholics. And all have a certain kind of piety about their beliefs. All kinds of Americans have been supporting our efforts in Islamic nations to destroy terrorists. But even as we've prayed for our troops to be safe and victorious, we have often missed the fact that doesn't escape the notice of Afghans, Iraqis, and other people all over the Islamic world. We're in their countries trying to decide how they should live and treat each other, which can make us look, in their eyes, like that grizzly bear folding its paws before it eats. The person on the dinner table isn't admiring the high ideals that have led the bear to make him the main course. They just know they're about to get eaten. If our beliefs, or anyone's beliefs, lead them to destroy others, or treat others with disdain, or leave them outside in the cold, it doesn't matter to them that we said grace first, or talked about our principles first. What others see is the effect that we've had upon them. We all laughed, probably, because of that hypocritical atheist who got what was coming to him from God through the Christian bear. What should really give us pause is that so often something that we call faith leads us to do things that Jesus wouldn't recognize. We heard a bit of Jesus' story today from the Gospel of Mark about how he took his new friends, his new students, to visit Simon and Andrew's home. And it's a telling story. You might remember from the last couple of weeks, but if you weren't here, let me tell you a little bit about what's been going on in this series of readings from Mark. Jesus has just been baptized by John, spent 40 days in the wilderness in a spiritual battle with Satan, and after emerging victorious, he begins going about the region of Galilee preaching the gospel. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And as he was traveling along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he came first upon Simon and Andrew, and then James and John, all fishermen, and he invited them to follow him, to learn from him, which they did. Then they went together to Capernaum, and Jesus preached in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and when a demon-possessed man called out against him, Jesus killed him. No, he didn't kill him. Do you know why Jesus didn't kill him? Because he isn't a pious grizzly bear. He healed the man. He cast out the demon that caused him to cry out against God. If he were really a Christian, that's what the bear would have done too. He would have prayed that the atheist might be delivered from the unbelief that caused him to deny God. Then, after Jesus didn't kill the demon-possessed man, he went with his new friends to the home of Simon and Andrew, the first two disciples to be called. There, Jesus learned that their mother-in-law was gravely ill. So he went in, and he healed her. And she got up and served them all. Do you imagine that before Jesus healed her, that the mother-in-law believed Jesus was the Son of God? I don't think so. But afterwards? Absolutely. He didn't have to go in there and do that. He could have told her that if she was sick, it was probably because she had done something wrong, angered God. That was a prevalent belief in those times. It's a prevalent belief, frankly, in our day. Some folks still say in our day, if there's something wrong in your life, it's probably something that you did, and it's not our problem that you did it. And even when that's true, because it is sometimes, is that helpful? It makes us feel pious, perhaps, to judge them, but if we eat those who don't yet believe, even if we say grace first, are we showing that we understand and serve Jesus, or are we showing something else? If we destroy those who are different than us, who we don't understand, who have been our adversaries or even our hated enemies, then I think we're missing Jesus' message entirely. That's not too surprising. Even his new friends often miss the point. But all kinds of other people didn't. Do you know who didn't miss what he was doing? The ones who were possessed by demons, who were sick, who were hopeless in their distress. They came to him to be healed. He didn't charge them a cent. He didn't expect anything of them other than this, that through being healed, they would understand that God loves them, that God is going out of his way to come to them and bring healing. And all the while, Jesus found time to remain connected to God in prayer. That's another thing that he was bearing witness to, that desire, that need to be in conversation with God. In the morning, while it was still dark, it says, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And his new friends searched him out. Everyone is looking for you, Jesus told his friends, Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do. And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. You know what happens when a grizzly bear eats someone? People hunt the bear down and kill it. Because, surprise, surprise, man-eating bears are not the company most people like to keep. People keep wondering why churches are shrinking and more people either don't believe or don't belong to churches. I think it's mostly because it seems obvious to those who are watching us that a lot of times we're no different than anyone else in our anything-to-get-ahead world. We lie, we cheat, we look down upon the poor, the aliens among us, those who are possessed by demons of addiction, those who are possessed by demons of fanatical religion, and instead of proclaiming the gospel and seeking healing for them, we fold our paws and say grace. It doesn't matter if we say our prayers if we don't do the things that Jesus commands us to do. It doesn't matter if we go to church if we mistreat those around us after we leave this place. Let us go on to the neighboring towns, the Lord said, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do. And he went around preaching the message in the synagogues and casting out demons. Maybe that's the problem with us sometimes. We imagine that we're the disciples doing the work of Jesus, but it's possible we're as possessed by demons as those around us. It doesn't have to be that way. It really doesn't. I have to ask myself every day whether my first motivation is Jesus or something inside of me. Do you ever do that? I'll bet you do. Doesn't really matter if I'm praying, if all I'm praying for is that God backs me up as I do my own thing. When Jesus taught us to pray, he didn't teach us to pray that we would vanquish our foes. He didn't teach us to pray that we would prosper while others go hungry. He taught us to pray that we would learn to want what God wants. That's what his friends learned from his earliest days of ministry. True faith isn't a grizzly bear praying as it devours the unbeliever. It's all of us working for healing and deliverance from suffering as hard as Jesus did. We shouldn't want to defeat those who don't believe in God or serve him. We should want to know God as God actually is and then serve him in love so that those around us come to know him that way too, whoever they are. Amen.